Okay, get ready, folks, because we got a mountain of listener mail this week, and it's all about the art of the insult, the power of dirty words, and even some attempts to, like, engineer brand new ones.
Oh, wow.
So strap in. We're going deep on how language can shock, offend, and even be subversive.
Yeah. You know what I find fascinating about this whole topic?
What's that?
Is how these sources really dive deep into the psychology, like, why do certain words hit us so hard?
Yeah.
You know, it's not just about the sounds, it's about the context, the culture,
Right.
the violation of norms, and even the hypocrisy of what we even consider dirty in the first place.
It's true. And one source actually goes as far as laying out, like, the criteria
Really?
For a truly effective dirty word.
Okay.
And they talk about this mix of sound and meaning and cultural context.
Interesting.
It's almost like they're giving us a mad scientist's formula for linguistic mayhem.
Like a linguistic hand grenade.
Yeah, exactly.
Something that just explodes on impact.
Exactly. And they even break down, like, the ideal phonetic impact.
Oh, wow.
Talking about hard consonants for that punch in the gut feeling.
Uh-huh.
Sibilant sounds for that hissing effect.
Oh, yeah.
Even guttural sounds to add that, like, depth and darkness.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to weaponize language.
It really is.
You know, make it as impactful and offensive as possible.
It makes me think of George Carlin's 7 words you can't say on television.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't just use those words to shock.
Right.
He used them to make us think about why they had so much power.
Exactly. And he got in a lot of trouble for it.
Yeah, he did.
You know, Carlin's routine actually ended up in the Supreme Court.
It's crazy, right?
Led to a landmark decision about censorship on the airwaves.
Huge.
Yeah. It's like a real turning point in our cultural history.
It is. And, you know, fast forward to today.
Okay.
We've got one of the sources try to invent a brand new 4-letter word.
What?
To replace shit.
To replace shit. Seriously.
They go through all these different iterations trying to find that perfect balance of shock and novelty.
So what did they come up with?
Some of them are pretty funny, like crap.
Crap.
I know, even they admit it falls flat.
Yeah, it doesn't quite have the same ring to it, does it?
It doesn't, but it's interesting. You know, like, they're trying to find that new word.
Yeah.
That hits that same level.
Right.
They also try to repurpose some existing words.
Interesting.
So, for example, they try to turn the word quip into a new insult, basically twisting the meaning to be, like, subversive.
How does that even work?
I know, it's so strange.
Quip, it's such a harmless word.
They use the example, that's a real quip of a situation.
Wow, that really doesn't work.
It really doesn't, but the source kind of explains.
Yeah.
It's like taking a fluffy kitten and dressing it up in a Nazi uniform.
Oh, my goodness.
I know, right? They're trying to highlight the jarring effect of this recontextualization.
Yeah.
You know, it's about creating this dissonance that can be, like, thought-provoking.
I get it in theory, but, yeah, quip is not the word for that.
Not the word. And then there's this whole thing about this Unicode character.
Oh, no.
Okay, it's called Angzar.
I've never even heard of that.
This ghost character has no known origin or meaning.
A ghost character.
But the source is declaring it the new shit.
Wow.
Like this linguistic hand grenade waiting to explode.
So they're trying to create a new word out of thin air, basically.
They are. And the funny thing is, it's already causing problems for grammar checkers.
Really?
It's like this little symbol of chaos disrupting the established order of language.
That's hilarious. I love it.
They even encourage us to use it.
Oh, really?
And spread the word, so to speak.
So they want us to be little linguistic rebels.
It's this playful, almost subversive act of linguistic rebellion.
I can get by that.
Right. But then we have another source that kind of pushes back.
Oh, really?
On this whole obsession with creating new dirty words. They're arguing that the truly dirty words are the ones that represent real world harms.
Like what kind of harms?
War, poverty, injustice, things like that.
Okay. Those are some heavy hitters.
Right. And they even go so far as to say those are the words that should make us uncomfortable.
You know what? They have a point.
Yeah.
It's like we're so focused on these taboo words that we forget about the language that actually causes real pain and suffering.
Absolutely. They're saying these are the words that have real power to harm, to destroy, to corrupt.
It's a good point. It's like, are we getting caught up in the shock value of shit and fuck?
Yeah.
While ignoring the language that actually perpetuates suffering and inequality.
It's something to think about.
It really is. It's a powerful thought.
It is. And this is getting deep.
Yeah.
But I think we need to unpack this even more.
Right.
Let's continue this in part 2.
Okay. Sounds good.
We'll explore how these sources tackle the hypocrisy of clean language.
Yeah.
and the fascinating ways that context can actually shape the impact of even the most seemingly offensive words.
I'm looking forward to it.
See you there.
See you there.